Father, I love you and thank you for your blessings, Lord, on our life. Thank you for the privilege to be here this evening and pray you bless the meeting to follow this workers' meeting. And pray you would be exalted and honored, dear Lord, and pray you would guide Pastor and, Lord, touch him and guide him in every way through the meeting tonight. And bless this workers' meeting and help us to be energized and encouraged to reach people for this Lord's Day in our classes and teach them the Word of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter number 2, and I want to say to all of our teachers that we have the study guide that's available this evening. You should already have the full-length book with the Bible lessons for this particular series entitled The Christian Home Crusade, and we're into that now and off and running. And last week, we started the first section of this particular series. I want to remind you that we'll spend 4 weeks talking about the family home, and then another 4 weeks dealing with Bible lessons on the church home, and then the final 4 weeks dealing with Bible lessons on our heavenly home. And so we're inviting people throughout this summer and asking God to help us to be used of Him to get other families into our classes. And last week, we began with lesson number one, and we found out that the foundation of the family is faith in God. And of course, the foundation of a society is the family, and the foundation of the family is faith in God. So if we want to make a difference in our country and our world, we're going to have to go all the way back down to faith in God. That is the foundation that can never be removed. And so we established that last week as we looked in the scriptures in the Psalms. Now we come to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to speak this week about the foundation of marriage. And so we come, of course, to the very first mention of marriage and the very first married couple, to this marriage ceremony here in the Garden of Eden. And we come and take a text verse out of Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24. And I'd like for you to find that there and follow along as I read it. The Word of God says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, the Lord God established this foundation at the very first marriage. There are a couple of lesson aims that are given to you in your teacher's material, just to remind you of these. Number one, to learn that no strong marriage can be built on oneness in body alone. God desires for us to have spiritual oneness. And that's the great theme and the great truth that we're emphasizing this week. And then second aim, to see from God's Word specific ways in which we can establish a spiritual foundation in our marriages. And so you're going to find that this week's lesson is really a very much application. We take one truth from the Word of God, we take one principle that's established, and then we're going to give application of that to try to help families and help marriages to understand how they can establish this spiritual foundation. So what is that great truth? Again, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Pastor said in the past many times that in marriage, one plus one equals one, not two. God says the man and the wife in the union of marriage now are one flesh. What is this oneness that he's talking about? Well, we want to cross-reference that and look in the New Testament with me, if you would, for just a moment, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If God says two shall be one, if there's this union in marriage, and by the way, we know from Ephesians 5 that that union is a beautiful type of the union that we have as believers with Christ. And if that union is there in marriage, what does God really mean? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 23, because we have insight here as to how God made man. It says in this particular verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So how did God make every human being? The Bible says He's made a spirit, soul, and body. So the oneness that God has established as a principle, as a foundation of marriage, is not just a oneness in body. In fact, no truly strong marriage could be built on just union or oneness in body. God has a list here. He says He's created a spirit and soul and body. And that order is important. So if God said spirit, soul, body, what's first on God's list? the Spirit, right? So the foundation of a strong marriage begins with a spiritual foundation, not just a bodily oneness, but a spiritual oneness. So how can couples, if they want to follow this principle from God's Word, how can couples establish a strong spiritual foundation in their marriage? And really the lesson is application, answering that question. And so let's look at a few things from the Word of God, and you'll see there, if you'll follow along in the lesson that's provided for you, there's actually 15 different things that are mentioned here, 15 different principles from God's Word that we could suggest to a couple saying, this is God's Word, and this is a principle that will help you to establish that spiritual oneness that God intended in a Christian marriage. And I want to remind you, if you're teaching, as a teacher, you're always thinking a little bit about the way you're going to present this, all right? There are many different scripture references given. Perhaps you want to have different people in the class read each of those scripture passages to get them involved. That would be a great thing to do this Lord's Day. Also, if you're going to give 15 different points, you're not going to be able to get sidetracked on any one of those for very long, right? Maybe teaching for 20, 25 minutes. And so you're only going to be able to spend about a minute or so on each one of these. And so I want to encourage you as you prepare and as you meditate on these scriptures to get very concise about what can be said that can be most helpful to people who are in your classes who need to know how to establish a spiritual foundation in marriage. So let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, speak to one another about how you came to know the Lord and what He means to you. Psalm 107 and verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And you know, I think we can begin establishing spiritual foundation in marriage by talking to each other, husband and wife, about how we came to know the Lord. Really, if you're a husband, you ought to be so familiar with that you could give your wife's testimony. And wife, that you could give your husband's testimony. And speaking freely and frequently about how Christ has changed our lives. I think it has to start there. And the Bible says to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Secondly, there you see this. Pray together and share answers to prayer. You know, there's something special about hearing your wife pray or your husband pray. And that reveals their heart. It reveals their attitude toward God. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 is a verse given there that says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And what do we do in prayer? When we pray together, seeking the Lord, we agree together. A lot of fussing can be eliminated in a marriage when husband and wife are agreeing together in prayer. Look at the third thing. Read God's Word together and share with your spouse the things God has used to speak to you. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Somebody says, "Well, I don't know how I have time for that." Again, if we want to establish the spiritual foundation that really makes a strong Christian marriage, that really exemplifies that union that we have with Christ, that really honors and glorifies God in that way, we're going to have to eliminate some lesser things for greater things. And there are many husbands and wives who say they're Christians but never read the Word of God together. And we could do better than that, can't we? Because God's Word is our lamp and it's our light. Look at the next thing. Give prayer requests one to another. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Isn't it wonderful, husbands, to have a wife that you could say, "I want you to pray with me about this." Wives, to have a husband, you could say, "You need to help me pray about this." And share those requests one to another, waiting on God together for an answer. The next, attend church together, the meetings of the church together. God says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And you know, more than just go to church, it's an attitude about on the way to the house of God, right? And when we leave the house of God, talking about what God did in our hearts, discussing the things that God used to speak to us, it's an attitude about the fact this is important to our marriage and to our home and family. Notice the next thing, spend time each day talking about God's care of your life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And you know, it's wonderful to sit alone with your wife or your husband and just talk about how God has met needs and how God has come through. How God has never left you, has never forsaken you. How there were tight squeezes and the Lord just got you through that because you leaned on Him and you trusted in Him. That builds a spiritual foundation in a home and in a marriage. Notice the next thing, very importantly, choose to forgive. And I think that title is given very carefully. Choose. You make a choice to forgive, don't you? And be ye kind one to another. Ephesians 4:32. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But it doesn't stop there. It says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, a husband and wife who practice forgiveness for Christ's sake, even as God has forgiven them, they forgive one another. They're going to establish a strong union in that marriage that really represents the Lord well. And that's really a great testimony to the Lord. Choose to forgive. Notice the next in the list. Be willing to accept reproof and correction from one another. That has to happen though, doesn't it? Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And you know, sometimes men, our wives, need to wound us a little bit, don't they? And that correction needs to come. And of course, we ought to choose the right place. Of course, we ought to choose the right time. We ought to have discernment about that as husbands and wives. But sometimes some correcting needs to be given. And when that happens, we ought to thank God that somebody loves us enough to correct us. And we ought to respond to that in a spiritual way. That builds a union, a spiritual foundation in the marriage. Notice the next thing. Seek Christ for victory over annoying habits in your life. Now, we're not talking about your husband or wife. We're talking about you, okay? Everybody thinks the other one has the annoying habits, right? But there are things in our life that we need victory over. And somebody might say, well, that's just my personality. That's just how I react. Well, is there no more of growing in Christ? Is there no more getting victories in our life? And if we're going to get serious about having that oneness that God wants us to have, we're going to have to tackle self and die to self and some of these selfish things that get in our life that really don't promote the oneness that we could have as a husband and wife. So we seek Christ for that victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Then notice the next thing. Allow nothing unclean through your eye gate. Wow, we need that, don't we? Psalm 101 and verse 3, the psalmist made really a declaration. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And you know, that builds a spiritual oneness in marriage when husband and wife are both committed to be clean before the Lord. And that's for the wife, but that is definitely for the husband as well. To set no wicked thing and say, I'm not going to let anything unclean get in here that can sever, that can put a wedge between me and my wife, between the oneness that we ought to have in Christ. Notice the next thing. Desire the Spirit of Christ in your married life. Philippians 2:5 is given there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, if we keep Christ as the goal, the husband does and the wife does, it's amazing if we're both growing in Christ's likeness, how much we grow toward one another and we grow in oneness with one another. Why? Because as we grow closer to the Lord, as we have more of the mind of Christ, then we have more in common one with another. You know, somebody says, well, I think I'm being Christ-like. Well, what about our tones? What about the tones of our voice? Can that be more Christ-like? What about our attitude toward one another? Can that be more Christ-like? Our respect for one another, can that be more Christ-like? You see, this helps establish that foundation that is really at the heart of oneness in marriage. The next is build your life around the Lord. Colossians 1:18 says that in all things He might have the preeminence. You know, some married couples build their life around their children. Or they build their life around their work. Or their career. Or they may even build their life around their ministry. That service. Some people may build their life around hobbies and things that they enjoy that are sort of leisure type things. But Christ is the one who deserves and is worthy of the preeminence. And if we're going to have spiritual oneness, then husband and wife both need to build their life around the Lord and who He is and what He means to them. Then notice as we conclude the list here with a couple more things. Exalt Christ one to another. Psalm 34:3 says, let us exalt His name together. Have you realized that when we exalt the name of the Lord together, the devil seems to just run out the back door? Have you ever realized that? Why? Because God inhabiteth the praises of His people. And we need more praising going on in our homes, don't we? We need more lifting up the name of Jesus. And that'll run the devil far away. That'll keep the sin far away. That'll keep hearts in tune. And husbands and wives need to spend time and say, let's just thank God for some things that he's done in our lives and exalt his name together. That's a biblical principle that we ought to follow. And then notice the last two things. Cultivate a spirit of gratitude. You know, if we're going to have gratitude, we do have to cultivate that spirit, don't we? We have to work at it. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Have you ever noticed that the peace of God and gratitude sort of go together, just like it is in that verse of Scripture? There's peace and there's rest when we have a heart that's grateful to God for what he's done. This discontentment, this covetousness that gets in homes where everybody wants a little bit more, nobody's happy with what they have, that is so dishonoring to God, isn't it? Let's cultivate a spirit of gratitude in that marriage. Be thankful for what God's given. And then notice the last thing in the list. Take your rightful place in marriage. And I want to encourage you, when you have a little more time on the Lord's Day, to read Ephesians chapter 5. Those verses there, beginning verse 21 down through verse 25. Well, the Bible says what those roles are. He says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. He says to the wives, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You see, when the husband and the wife both take their role and they fulfill their responsibility that God's given them and they embrace that and they say, this is my role in the home. This is what God's given me to do. I'm going to love my wife supremely as Christ has. The wife says, I'm going to submit to my husband just as Christ submitted to God the Father, both really representing Christ and who he is. When both embrace their role in the home, what does that build? It builds a foundation where both are in tune with God, obedient to God in the role that God's given them, and a spiritual oneness and foundation can be established in the home. Now, that's a long list, isn't it? If somebody can't get something out of this week's lesson, they got a problem, right? Because there's a lot of great truth in the Bible. And so most of this lesson is just making the application and helping couples, and maybe if you're teaching a single adults or something, they're preparing for marriage one day, helping people to understand, how do you really establish a foundation in that marriage? Well, it's going to be a spiritual foundation, first and foremost. And we're going to have to follow these biblical principles to do that. May the Lord help us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how clear it is. Thank you for this Bible lesson, and help us to reach others this week and have new folks in our class and work with those who are coming and to be filled with your spirit as we teach your word this Lord's Day. Bless the remainder of this meeting, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.